Track 6. This is Brian Gall back in the hot seat at the sports desk with the latest news. I was busy elsewhere last week and unable to record the sports news, but not as busy as Stourbridge Football Club, the Glass Boys, have been this past weekend. They travelled up to Yorkshire on Saturday to play Bradford Park Avenue in the third round of the FA Trophy qualifying competition, and after drawing that match 1-1, immediately repaired back to base on Monday evening for the replay. Reports I've read of the first match suggest the Glass Boys might have won it, but while they looked the better side in the first half and led at the interval, they also had to thank goalkeeper Matt Gould for a couple of really top-class saves to keep the opposition at bay. A header from a Tonks corner had put Stourbridge in the lead, but despite more pressure and a couple of good chances, they were unable to add another goal before the interval, and the home side were brighter in the second half, forged an equaliser, and with half an hour of the match left, it could have gone either way. Goalkeeper Gould was kept busy in the visitors' net, made one great save to add to the one he achieved early in the match, while at the other end, Leon Broadhurst thought he'd restored Stourbridge's lead, only to see a Bradford defender manage to hook his effort clear off the line. It was all set for the two sides to meet again on Monday evening at the Memorial Ground here, and if Stourbridge's goalkeeper had been something of a hero for them in the first match, this time it was the Bradford keeper who kept his side in the game. The first half was goalless thanks to some excellent save by the Bradford goalie, but Glass Boys took the lead shortly after the interval after a slip by one of the visiting defenders who deflected the ball into his own net. Stourbridge then added a second goal by their own efforts and looked to have the game safe, but Bradford finally got past Matt Gould in the home goal and the last quarter hour was tense as the visitors tried to forge an equaliser. But Stourbridge held on and, having successfully come through the three rounds of the FA Trophy qualifying competition, have reached the first round proper of this contest when they'll travel to meet Leamington. Leamington play their regular league soccer in the National League North. That's the same as the defeated Bradford, and it will offer Glass Boys another stern test. Amongst the big boys of West Midlands soccer, you take it more or less for granted these days that Wolves will win, playing an attractive brand of soccer and reaping the goals that that brings. They smacked five past struggling Bolton on Saturday, but keep an eye on Villa in the same league. Their 2-0 defeat of Ipswich keeps them in the promotion playoff positions, and they're quietly keeping up the pressure on the top sides in that division. Among Wolves' leading challengers at the top of the division are Sheffield United. And while no self-respecting Wolves fan would ever say thank you to Birmingham City, they must have been pleased when, on Saturday, the Blues, barely keeping their heads above the relegation places, held out for a 1-1 draw at Sheffield. Too early to say this may be the coming of a new dawn for the Blues, but that they should pick up a point from this fixture was certainly a surprise. Turning to rugby, Stourbridge were also involved in a drawn match on Saturday, 26-26 in their case, on their visit to South Leicester. This match, played in a biting wind and arctic temperature at a ground with few facilities for spectators, required fortitude both on and off the pitch. Stourbridge certainly needed that by the hundredweight as they found themselves going backwards in the scrum and struggling in their line-out, which has never been a strong point this season. However, they dug and delved, managed four tries during the afternoon, once again earning an extra bonus point for doing so, but were constantly pegged back by the home side's goal kicker, who accounted for 16 of his team's points. Indeed, with the wind at his back in the second half, he'd put Leicester in the driving seat, and only a try by Stourbridge 2 minutes from the end, converted in its turn, levelled the scores, with the visitors holding out for their share of the points thereafter. The big lead at the top of the league, which Stourbridge had built up earlier this season, has now evaporated, and they share top place with two other clubs, both of whom have a more favourable points difference. Indeed, the top five teams in the table are separated by just 2 points, and, would you believe, Stourbridge face the top two in their next two matches. Hinckley, the current leaders, visit Stourton Park this Saturday, and our lads make the long journey up north to meet Tynedale the week after. Saturday will also see the formal opening of their artificial pitch at Stourton Park in a ceremony led by Peter Wheeler, a former England international. There should be much jollity. Let's hope the afternoon performance by the team out on the new surface does not end in tears. Our report last week looked forward to the start of England's first Test cricket in Australia, but that definitely did end in tears. After they managed a total of just over 300 runs in their first innings, despite the usual batting collapse, they fell from a reasonably respectable 246 for 5 to 302 all out. Hopes were high when they took some quick wickets when the Aussies began their first innings, but an excellent 141 not out by the Australian skipper Steve Smith, who stood head and shoulders above his fellows, enabled the home side to achieve a narrow first innings lead. There had been some remarks about the unusual state of the wicket at Brisbane. Usually helpful to pace bowlers, it had been slow and passive during the first 2 days of the match. But later on, it returned to its true nature, and batting in their second innings, the English batsmen had no answer to the Australian quick bowlers. Messrs Hazelwood, Stark and Cummins regularly delivered the ball at around 90 mile an hour, and they duly took their toll, while the spin bowler Lyons was also deadly. England were all back in the pavilion for a meagre total of 195, leaving their hosts with a relatively simple task, and their opening batsmen achieved the required runs without being unduly troubled. So, 1-0 to the Australians on the second match of the series, to be played in Adelaide, follows straight away, starting this weekend. Is there any hope? Well, Brisbane, where the first match was played, is well known as an Australian fortress, where they've not lost a test match to anyone for about 30 years, and surely these batting collapses by the later order in England's lineup cannot continue. Then, former skipper Alistair Cook had a poor match by his standards and is definitely due to knock a big score. Finally, I read that Ben Stokes, missing from our Test Match 11 due to a misdemeanour back home here last September, has gone out to New Zealand to play some local cricket there. He'd be handily placed to join the team if he's not charged with any criminal activity and he's on the doorstep. I've not given up all hope just yet. The Formula One motor racing season ground to its climax at the weekend. The last race of the season, the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix, was a formality, with Mercedes previously confirmed as the most successful team and their number one driver, Lewis Hamilton, as champion driver. However, he did not win the race, finishing second behind his Mercedes teammate, Valtteri Bottas. The race was hardly an advertisement for Grand Prix racing. The Abu Dhabi track is one where overtaking is extremely difficult, and provided you can avoid any mechanical failure or a collision, the car that sets off from pole position generally wins. That was largely how it panned out on Sunday, the majority of the drivers finishing the race in the position from which they'd started, and it seemed as if the German driver, Sebastian Vettel, who leads the Ferrari team, was content to finish the race somewhere near the front to reinforce his finish in second place in the Drivers' Championship for this year. He achieved that by ending up third in Abu Dhabi. Now they can all take a well-earned rest until the 2018 season gets going in Australia next March. And now I'm off to take a rest too, well-earned or not. That's all the sport for this time. I'll be back next time, but until then, it's goodbye from Brian Gall.